This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Has Jameis Winston done enough to earn a starting job in the NFL? And don't act all surprised because he throws interceptions. Are you kidding? Jameis Winston has had an interception problem or an affinity for interceptions and pick sixes since he was at Florida State. It goes back that far. He's always had a great arm and the ability to chuck the ball downfield. Always had interceptions. Always. This is a guy who, in his final year in Tampa, right before Tom Brady took over as quarterback. Wait, are you hearing that, by the way, or is that just me? Do you hear the audio dropping out, Pete? If you're not hearing it on your end, that means it's just the connection in here.
No, I don't hear it. No.
Okay. Remember how I told you this little box, the headphone jack in here? So now it's actually shorting out, and I don't hear myself at all. But as long as it's not happening on your end, I'll just keep going.
Keep going.
Because that would be funny if we were just dropping out all of a sudden. Jameis Winston's final year in Tampa, the year before Tom Brady took over as the quarterback, it was the first time in NFL history a QB had ever thrown for 30-plus touchdowns and 30 interceptions. That was also the year he threw the ball 5,000 yards. He was the best. He was the most prolific. How about that? Most prolific quarterback in the NFL that season. He led the NFL in passing yards with 5,000 plus, but 30 interceptions to go along with his 33 touchdown passes. This is Jameis Winston. He's not going to change. He's a fully grown NFL QB. But my question is whether or not he's earned himself a starting gig in the NFL. If you consider potentially, and a lot can change between now and the end of the year, consider some of the places where we might see quarterback changes in the offseason. The Jets is one of those. It's highly unlikely. This would be so Jets. It's highly unlikely that they bring back Aaron Rodgers, though never. Did you hear that?
Heard that.
So you did hear that. You do hear it dropping out. It's not just my headphones.
It's that time.
Okay. I can hear the in my headphones when that happens. So it's not just the jack then. It's something else going on. It's a short. If you guys hear me just drop out, it's not you, it's me. I am a little bit nervous about touching anything now. I'm just going to keep my hands where everyone can see them. This would be so Jets, right, to bring, to bring in Jameis Winston. But they have certainly determined, more than likely, they're not going to re-sign Aaron Rodgers and have him back for another season. So there's one potential opening in the NFL. I mean, you have to look at the Browns situation and wonder what they do. Why would they ever go back to Jameis or to Deshaun Watson? Even if it's not Jameis Winston, why would they ever go back to Deshaun? At least this offense moves, it grooves, it travels. It may travel the wrong way sometimes because of his interceptions, but at least it's got some juice and some jazz to it, some spice. Probably not going to see QB changes elsewhere in the AFC North. In the AFC South, I think the Jags will probably stick with Trevor Lawrence, though a lot around him could change. The Texans, the Colts, we think the Colts are all set. The Titans, I don't know about Will Levis. In the AFC West, the Raiders don't have a quarterback, unless you believe that Aiden O'Connell is their guy. But remember, they wanted to draft a QB last year and realized they weren't going to be high enough on the board to get one that they wanted. And so instead they went with Brock Bowers, and they're still searching for a QB. Maybe a different coaching staff, maybe a lot of new pieces there in Vegas again. But since Derek Carr, it's been hit or miss, mostly miss. There's another opportunity. Trying to think about the Giants, too, and what they might do at their quarterback position. They could end up with the number one overall pick. Now, it's not set in stone. It could go down to the wire. But they might be looking to draft a QB instead. The NFC North is all set. The NFC South, huh? What happens with the Saints? I mean, Taysom Hill just tore his ACL, which totally sucks, and they've never really used him consistently at quarterback anyway. Are they going to stick with Derek Carr? Falcons have not just Kirk Cousins, but Michael Penix waiting in the wings. The Buccaneers are happy with Baker Mayfield. And then the NFC West, yeah, for now they're set. But there are a few openings there where you wonder if Jameis Winston has earned himself a starting gig based on the juice that he's brought to this Browns offense. Now, you guys, especially in Cleveland, will remember this time last year, it was Joe Flacco who was starting for the Browns, and he helped to lead them. It wasn't all himself, but he helped to lead them to the playoffs, despite the fact that they had lost their QB, they had lost their star running back. They'd lost all kinds of pieces, and yet he was part of the glue that brought them together to help them make a playoff run. The fact that they were able to get there with Joe Flacco meant that a lot of fans in Cleveland wanted them to stick with Joe, even if he was only the backup, quote unquote, because there were plenty of questions about whether or not Deshaun Watson's durable enough to last an entire season. He's not. He hasn't. And so could they now in Cleveland decide to stick with Jameis Winston? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So glad to have you with us. 855-212-4227. Would you want Jameis as your starting QB? Knowing what he is, he's all or nothing, baby. Well, he's all or he's all to the other team. You can find me online at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. If you have not yet voted for Monday MVP, easy enough to find. Poll is pinned to the top of our show account at Amy After Hours. You can also find it open and available on our Facebook page. Coming up, because we got more than enough bang for our buck in Denver with Monday Night Football. That was terrific. 29 total drives. Well, terrific if you like offense. 29 total drives, which is like 10 more than some of the other games we saw on Sunday. Cleveland had 28 first downs, 24 of them coming via the pass. So I know that the Broncos secondary ended up with multiple interceptions, a couple of pick sixes in there for the Broncos linebacker Nick Benito. He had a terrific moment. I mean, the Broncos secondary, well, and the second level of defense, certainly came up with some big plays. But holy cow, Jerry Jeudy, former Bronco, 9 catches, 235 yards, and a score. This game had nearly 1,000 total yards, 5 turnovers. But I think the part that gave me whiplash, together, Broncos and Browns, 11 plays of at least 20 yards. Whoa! I counted them myself. Are you proud of me? So we'd love to connect with you now that week 13 is in the books. And coming up, we'll head to Denver to get the reaction from inside the locker room. Brandon Cristall will join us. He's a longtime Broncos insider. And looking at the standings, too, this is the 8th win of the season for the Broncos. So they've had their longest playoff drought in forever. Remember, they won Super Bowl 50 and haven't made the playoffs since. It's also the longest playoff drought in NFL history after a team wins a Super Bowl. No team has ever gone this long from Super Bowl to completely on the outside looking in, as in an NFL outsider. But the AFC has gotten better with the Chargers and Broncos taking major steps forward this season. So I know we talk about the NFC North as the toughest division in football, and it is. 11-win team, 10-win team, 9-win team, and even though the Bears have lost 6 in a row, they lose close games. So they do manage to make life exciting, though, yeah, they've already fired their coach and decided they're going to make changes there. But 3 teams above 500, another one that at least serves as a tough out. But how about the AFC West now? With an 11-win team, the Super Bowl champions, and a pair of 8-win teams, just the Raiders at the bottom. If you were talking playoffs right now through week 13, and I know the playoffs don't start today. I hate that phrase, and yet I use it just because. Just to be mean. If the playoffs started today, but they don't. It would be Chiefs as the 1 seed, Bills as the 2 seed, Pittsburgh Steelers as the 3 seed, Texans as the 4 seed. Those are all division winners. And then you've got some combination of Ravens as a wild card. It would probably, and I don't know what the seeds would be, but because I don't do all the tie breaks. But Ravens, Chargers, Broncos, those would be your wild cards. 3 teams out of the AFC West. This is kind of a division that served as the ugly redheaded stepchild to the Chiefs for the last 5 years. But maybe getting its act together. New coaching in Jim Harbaugh. Sean Payton, year number 2, cleaning things up. A great rookie class with Bo Nix and others. And so we'll talk about that coming up with Brandon. But yeah, you would end up having 3 teams from the West in the playoffs, along with the Ravens as the other wild card. And weirdly enough, all of the teams I just listed, those are the only teams in the AFC that are above 500. Everybody else is below 500. Isn't that weird? Football's weird. The NFL is weird. It's the best reality show on TV. Then in the NFC, you've got 3 teams that are 6-6. Just what a weird, it's just odd year. It's the haves and the have-nots, mostly, in the NFL. So yeah, a lot of chunk plays in this game between the Browns and the Broncos, and you saw the oxygen on the sidelines. So I kept thinking, even as I was going through some of the post-game audio, with 11 plays of at least 20 yards and guys having a sprint up and down the field, there were a lot of guys who needed oxygen because they were sucking wind.
Winston takes the snap. Protection is good with a three-man rush. He throws the ball. It's intercepted. Intercepted 35. This is going to be a house call. Down the sideline. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. That is Nick Bonito. 71 yards as Nick Bonito with an interception return for a touchdown. Nicks with a pair of receivers on each side. Takes a shotgun snap, drops 3 yards into the end zone, loads it up, deep ball down middle of the field. He's got Mims there. Mims is gone. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, high stepping into the south end zone. Touchdown, Denver, 93 yards.
Dave Logan on Broncos radio. So right before halftime, right after halftime, a 71-yard pick six. And a 93-yard pass from Bo Nix to Marvin Mims for another touchdown. It was wild and crazy. And yeah, lots of guys needing oxygen, I'm sure, in the halftime locker room. But one snap after the Marvin Mims 93-yard scamper, well, it's the Browns' turn.
With the play clock winding down, Jameis has the snap, takes a deep drop, and he wants a deep shot. He has Judy running free. He has it at the 30, the 20. Jerry Judy to the far pylon, high stepping and falling backwards into the end zone. Touchdown, Browns! 70 yards.
Andrew Siciliano on Browns radio. Do you remember the video, and I don't know if he still does it or not, of Jameis eating W's? Now, he couldn't do it tonight, of course, because the Browns didn't win, but felt like that. It was one of those games where the two teams were just eating up yards and spitting them out, like just churning him, eating up the yards, eating up the yards after catch, the yak. They were yakking. They were running up and down the field. It was terrific, but it did make it, I guess it did put the stress on the defense, even though you had some big defensive plays. And it did, the closer they got to the end of the game, make it obvious that the defenses were kind of worn out in this game. And so it's just, how much can you hang on? Can you make one more big play? On back-to-back drives to wrap up this game, Winston throws interceptions. His third one in the end zone as the game is winding down. So it really was good to the last drop. Sean Payton, he seemed kind of winded after the game.
Holy cow. Some games go maybe in a direction you think they're going to go. Obviously, that one went in a much different direction. We did enough, made enough plays in the end to win, so I'll just take questions.
I like that. He says, holy cow. I don't even know what to say. I'll just take your questions. What do you got for me? Can you make this easier on me tonight? And then for Jameis Winston, he's going to try a new tactic to cut down on his interceptions and his gifts to the other team.
In times like this, you know, it's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. Like, that's not me. Like, a phenomenal game. Offense, do some great things. But I mess it up.
We're going to need to keep that and bring it back for the Hall of Flame induction, maybe before the end of the year. I need to pray to the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. I like it. It's a new strategy. 497 yards, a Browns franchise record for any quarterback at any time. 4 touchdown passes, 3 picks. You want to talk about a wild swing from one end of the pendulum to another. I mean, it's a roller coaster that is befitting of Sandusky Park on the shores of Lake Erie. My gosh. I guess it's Cedar Point in Sandusky. I got that wrong, but it is in Sandusky. I love the roller coasters there. Been there 3-4 times. The last time I was there and I rode the wooden roller coaster, I decided I would never do that again. I was too old for that. My back couldn't take it. That's what it's like to watch Jameis Winston play. I mean, it can be thrilling. It can cause you to drop your mouth open, like, what just happened? And then, oh no. It's almost like you have to watch with your hand over your eyes, kind of peeking through the cracks in your fingers. What happens next with Jameis Winston? But has he earned a starting spot in the NFL? Is he one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league? Is there a job for him post 2024? If it's not in Cleveland, though, I wonder if the Browns will try to keep him. He clearly can have some great success in this offense. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Also on our Facebook page. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Vote for Monday MVP. We'll have your candidates for TD of the week. Heavens, we could pick like 5 of them from this particular game. 855-212-4227. Hope you survived your post-Thanksgiving manic Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Denver, 4-man rush. Quick throw outside. The ball is intercepted. Intercepted by the Broncos down the east sideline. This is going to be a house call. That is Jaquan McMillan.
Winston with Nick Chubb to his left. Play fake. Winston throws in the end zone and throws it to Cody Barton. And Barton's got a chance to house call. Barton down the east sideline. They catch him at midfield. For Cody Barton, that's his second interception of the season. And that will do it with 34 seconds to go.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Logan with the calls on the Broncos Radio Network. The good news is they moved to 8 wins. And if you're a Broncos fan, this feels like a long time coming since Super Bowl 50. A lot of losing records, a lot of changes at coach and quarterback, and gosh, pretty much every position on the field. So there's that. The 8-5 record with 3 consecutive wins. A rookie quarterback that continues to get better. Bad news is 500 plus yards to the Cleveland Browns and Jameis Winston and Jerry Jeudy. Wowzers. I don't know if this was a thumbs up performance from the Broncos defense or thumbs down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's welcome Brandon Cristall, longtime Broncos insider in the Mile High City, working now for Guerrilla Sports. And Brandon, what would you say, thumbs up or thumbs down for the defense?
Well, I think, Amy, two things can be true, right? It was certainly way too many big plays, way too much yardage for Sean Payton and Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, for them to, you know, really smile about. But the pick six from Jaquan McMillan, the pick six from Nick Benito, and then that late interception from Cody Barton, as well as some good pressure and getting off the field at times to give the offense a chance. All of that, I think you have to say it was both really bad at times and really good at times for the Broncos defense, which has been, for the most part, really good this year.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How did Jerry Jeudy find so much room to run?
Well, Riley Boss has a knee injury that's going to have him on the shelf, not just for this game. He got hurt against the Raiders last week. He's going to, I think, miss some time even after the bye, which is coming up now for the Broncos. The latest bye Sean Payton has ever had, Amy, he says that he can remember since he's been a head coach. So they likely won't have Riley Moss for the Colts, and maybe not even on that Thursday night game right after they play the Colts when they go to L.A. to take on the Chargers on the 19th. But no Riley Moss. And Levi Wallace went from looking like an okay fill-in for PS2 earlier in the year when Pat Surtain got a concussion to a guy who's over the hill based on what you saw. Because when Jerry Jeudy wasn't covered by Pat Surtain, Jerry Jeudy, I believe, had 34 routes against PS2, only two catches for 20 yards. In his other 23 routes against mostly Levi Wallace and then a combination of other Broncos defenders, he had 215 yards on seven catches, including that 70-yarder, and looked like the guy that the Broncos expected when they drafted him in the first round 5 years ago, that he was going to play like a perennial Pro Bowler, you know, throughout his career. And we know he never got on track really here in Denver, but he looked awesome, and it had the Broncos scratching their head for sure.
Looking back at his time in Denver, why do you think it didn't work out?
It's a combination of things, and Jerry talked about it more so last week, the other day when he was asked about his time in Denver, and he said, look, I definitely dropped some balls early in my career, and he battled through some injuries, but then there were also times where he would be running open, and whether it was Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke or Russell Wilson, he wouldn't get the ball thrown his way. And then a couple times he did, and it happened later in his career with Russell Wilson too, I say later, but in his time here in Denver, where he didn't haul in some big catches, including in a Monday night game in Buffalo last year where Cortland Sutton, we know, had some huge catches, but Jerry Jeudy dropped a couple that should have been for either big games or for a score. And so he just never found his footing. He thought he'd be traded 2 years ago, perhaps, last year at the trade deadline. I remember talking to him at his locker. He's like, hey, if I'm here, great. And if I'm not, also great. It's not that big of a deal. And so the Browns obviously saw something in him. They gave him a nice extension and really were paying off potential. And when given the opportunity, especially tonight against his former team, I saw where he had more yards against the former team than any player ever against the team they once played for.
We know they've had a revolving door of coaches and coordinators and quarterbacks, of course, since their last playoff appearance, which was Super Bowl 50, the end of Peyton Manning and DeMarcus. So when we're talking about the Broncos now and this forward momentum, let's talk Sean Payton first. How has he changed the culture in Denver?
Well, Sean Payton, for all the things that maybe people don't like about him, his confidence or arrogance or whatever you want to call it, his creativity as a play caller and maybe similar to Andy Reid, where sometimes they get perhaps a little too cute instead of just taking maybe the easier opportunity in terms of just a play design or a play call or a circumstance. And it was funny seeing Kadarius Toney out there tonight with the Browns, because I go back to the Thursday night game last year where you've got Patrick Mahomes, you got Travis Kelce, but Andy Reid is going to snap it to Kadarius Toney, who ends up losing the ball inside the 10-yard line. And so Sean Payton has some of that, but what he also has is time in the league around a bunch of different coaches, but mostly around Bill Parcells, and then 15, 16 years running the show in New Orleans and helping establish a culture there and doing things a certain way with things he picked up at the Giants and at the Eagles and certainly with Parcells at the Cowboys, and seeing the way Jerry Jones handled things from an ownership standpoint in terms of the resources that you give your coaching staff and your personnel staff and your players. And so the Broncos had a lot of that in place. And then you had a new ownership group, which has more money than any ownership group. And Sean and them have been on the same page since they hired him, even though you heard plenty of reporting out there that perhaps Jim Harbaugh might have been higher on their list or was as high, or perhaps D'Amico Ryans was some people's favorite choice when you talked about that ownership group. But Sean has won a lot of games. And what I saw, Amy, last year, or talking to people at the Combine after coming off the rough year with Russell Wilson and the expectation that he was going to be released, as he ultimately was the reverence that people have for Sean around the league is second to none. And I think it's because he was somewhere for a decade and a half and was so consistent and won so many games. And I get Drew Brees and a lot of his other players had a lot to do with it, but Sean's still the guy whose name's at the top of the masthead, if you will, at the top of the, you know, the top of the organization, other than just the ownership and the GM. But Sean, you know, certainly has more control here than perhaps he even did in New Orleans. And he just needed to come in and get things kind of smoothed out after, like you mentioned, all the different head coaches, all first-time head coaches that you had back-to-back-to-back after Gary Kubiak walked away a year following Super Bowl 50 in 2016. You had Vance Joseph, you had Vic Fangio, then you had 1 year Nathaniel Hackett, all first-timers. Sean knows what he likes and knows what he doesn't. And he knows how to relate to players and talk to players and get the most out of his players. And so it's clearly working. And now he's got a young quarterback, something he hasn't ever really had, a rookie quarterback, that is reminding people, especially if you follow Chase Daniel on Twitter, of Drew Brees.
Brandon Christel is with us from Denver covering the Broncos. Now 8-5 for Gorilla Sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Why is Bo Nix the right quarterback finally for this team after a search that goes back to Super Bowl 50?
I think that it's the perfect pairing of coach and quarterback. And, you know, I touched on Andy Reid. I think Patrick Mahomes would have been good in a lot of situations. I think a lot of us do. But being able to come in and spend a year around Alex Smith and then his entire career with Andy Reid clearly has been obviously great for Patrick Mahomes. And you look at Bo Nix, and I mentioned the Drew Brees comparison. Chase Daniel tweeted that during the game, and Chase has admitted that he is leading the charge for Bo Nix for Rookie of the Year. Now, it feels like a two-man race, with apologies to Brock Bowers. Jaden Daniels might have edged ahead, even though both teams won this week, and Bo certainly made some nice throws in the game tonight. But Jaden Daniels' numbers are a little more impressive, and so they're neck and neck. But Chase tweeted during the game today that, hey, I spent 5 years with Drew Brees, and to see what Bo Nix is doing, he's turning into Drew Brees as a rookie in terms of understanding what Sean Payton wants Bo Nix. And, you know, I think I mentioned the Combine. Chris Sims talked about it at the Combine. I remember talking with Chris about why Bo Nix would be the perfect fit for Sean because of how he processes things so quickly and because he's athletic enough and has a good enough arm, but an understanding of the offense. And so as his offense has evolved, Amy, it hasn't been, some of it is a comfort level with Bo. He did talk about that after that Falcons game where he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week and threw the four touchdowns and no picks and didn't get sacked. And he said things are slowing down before the snap and after the snap, but even going into the year, he was comfortable with the playbook and the volume of plays. It was more just about comfort on the field with sure. The players, with the playbook and all that. And so I think the reason he's having success and clearly is going to be the guy here for a while, if not for a really long while, decade plus, is because of the traits he has that fit perfectly for what Sean Payton wants out of his quarterback.
How much excitement is there in Denver for a team that appears to be a contender with forward momentum? I want to be careful how I say it because I know it's fleeting in the NFL. But 8 wins is 8 wins. That's more they've had in a long time.
They go to Kansas City and they have the Chiefs beat. The defense plays great. They keep Patrick Mahomes and company in check. And then obviously that field goal got blocked. But they could be sitting here at 9-4 and in even in better shape. But I think what you're seeing from this fan base, and you saw it even in training camp and throughout the preseason when Bo was playing well, admittedly against sometimes second and third teamers, but executing what they were calling as he got into the season and even a little bit in the preseason, you saw his athleticism, you saw his speed was maybe more than anybody that didn't watch every Auburn or Oregon game more than they realized that he possessed. He's not Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, but faster probably than a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And so I think because it's been, like you mentioned, 8 long years now into the 9th season without a playoff appearance, we'll see if that snapped, and they're obviously in control of that destiny, sitting 2 games clear of the Colts as it stands, knowing they have the Colts and Bengals, among others, on their schedule here to close it out after the bye week. The fans here don't expect the Broncos to win the Super Bowl this year, but they do expect them to make the playoffs and take a step forward that they haven't taken in a long time with good talent on both sides of the ball and a young quarterback. I get that he's not the youngest at 24, and he'll be 25 soon, but a guy that they can finally, they like to say, believe in for lack of a better term, because it's been this revolving door and Russell Wilson didn't work out and Teddy Bridgewater and Case Keenum and Drew Locke and certainly Paxton Lynch. And we could add a few more to that list. But the point is they haven't had anyone to believe in, let alone believe in. And so while no one is confusing Bo Nix with Patrick Mahomes, and as Sean said after he played well against Atlanta, we're not putting this kid in Canton just yet. He's making enough plays. He's got enough moxie. He's obviously got the ability to run this offense that fans for the first time are excited about being excited, if that makes sense. And so I think they understand that they got to see John Elway's entire 16-year Hall of Fame career and got the last 4 years of Peyton Manning's amazing career. So the idea that they could just have their guy again for 5, 8, 10, perhaps even longer potentially if it all goes well is exciting because it just hasn't been that in so long.
Right. Brandon, before I let you go, what's your reaction to what you're seeing with Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh?
I'm not surprised there either. And part of it is a credit not only to Mike Tomlin, who we know sets a tone there and is as good a coach as there is in the NFL, but also to Arthur Smith, because they're not running Arthur Smith's offense exactly the way I imagine he'd love to run it. And that's the thing about Russell Wilson is he has always been able to make something out of nothing that it's sometimes hard to keep an offense on time, on schedule, which is something that Sean Payton's offense requires. But with Russ, because they have such a good defense and good skill players, George Pickens, when his head's right, is as talented a wideout as there is and good runners behind him, Russ can go out and make enough plays. And we saw what he was able to do this past week against the Bengals, throwing for 400 yards. And just like Jameis tonight threw technically for 6 touchdowns, Russ threw for 4 to his own team and 1 to another team. But I'm not surprised. And so it won't surprise me if the Steelers come back and offer Russ a 2 or 3 year deal if they make the kind of playoff run that they're capable of. Here's what will be really funny, Amy, is if the playoff seeding falls the way it might, there's a scenario where the Broncos could go to Pittsburgh in wild card weekend. And
nice.
you have to agree with me that that will be the Monday night capper to wild card weekend with the 2 Saturday games, 3 Sunday games. We will almost certainly, if that's the matchup, see the Broncos in the Steel City taking on Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's too good to be true for the TV writers out there, but it would be great to see.
From the category of you can't make this stuff up. Absolutely. All right, good stuff. Broncos on the right track. Sean Payton has definitely changed the culture. Maybe they found their franchise QB. Should he stay healthy? And another big victory, this time inside the AFC, should there be tie breaks. All right, you can find Brandon online at BK Denver Sports. Now with Gorilla Sports, longtime Broncos insider from the Mile High City. I don't know that he needed oxygen, but there was plenty of it flowing on the sidelines for this game. Thanks so much, Brandon. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Amy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, did you see the number of big plays, 11 of them that went at least 20 yards, and guys were talking about how they were sucking wind and needing oxygen on the sidelines. So we'll hear more from Monday Night Football in Denver, but the question is, has Jameis Winston earned a starting spot in the NFL again? Whether it's Cleveland, one of the New York teams, one of the other franchises that might be looking to upgrade with a veteran QB, has he earned a starting job with what he's done in Cleveland, stepping in for Deshaun Watson? 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Plenty of offensive fireworks, but it was a few defensive plays that made all the difference.
Winston takes the snap. Protection is good with a 3-man rush. He throws the ball. It's intercepted. Intercepted 35. This is going to be a house call. Down the sideline. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. That is Nick Bonito. 71 yards as Nick Bonito with an interception return for a touchdown.
Call courtesy of the Broncos Radio Network. First of two for the Broncos on defense. They picked off Jameis Winston 3 times in all. Also allowed him to throw for 497 yards and 4 scores. But the Broncos able to survive the Browns 41-32.
Holy cow. You know, there's some games go maybe in a direction you think they're going to go. Obviously, that one went in a much different direction. We did enough, made enough plays in the end to win, so I'll just take questions.
And that's head coach Sean Payton. Jerry Jeudy, 235 yards receiving and a touchdown against his former club. Bo Nix threw for 294 and a score. Broncos now 8-5. Bears are keeping GM Ryan Poles in place. He'll begin the process now to find their new head coach. 49ers lost a pair of running backs to IR. Christian McCaffrey, PCL injury in his knee. Backup Jordan Mason goes to IR with a high ankle sprain. Head coach Kyle Shanahan trying to keep the team afloat with all the injuries and also realizes just how difficult the season it's been for McCaffrey.
You know, it was a real frustrating year for him. He worked his ass off to get back to this point, and I think he was really feeling good and about to take off and just had that real unfortunate injury last night. So I know he's as crushed as anyone, but he'll get through this. He's a hell of a player, hell of a person, and an unbelievable 49er.
Now, elsewhere, the Saints lost Taysom Hill to a torn ACL. His season's done. Rams claim former 2023 first-round pick corner Emmanuel Forbes Jr. off waivers from Washington. NBA, the T-Wolves rocked the Lakers 109-80. Celtics rolled the Heat 108-89. Hawks outscored the Pelicans 124-112, and the Bulls disposed of the Nets 128-102. In college football, USC quarterback Miller Moss entering the transfer portal. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, sports fans, it's Jim Rome. Check us out 24/7 on Sirius XM, channel 158.
With a first and 10, he gets the snap and goes back. A five-man rush. He winds up right past on the middle clock. 30. 20, Jeudy to the 10, Jeudy to the 5, Jeudy to the goal line, touchdown, 70-yard touchdown pass, Winston to the former Bronco, Jerry Jeudy right down the middle.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, Monday Night Football, Week 13 in the books. Are you kidding? History for the Browns organization. Jameis Winston, a franchise record, 497 yards and 4 touchdowns, but also 3 interceptions, including a pair of pick sixes.
It's tough for any team to win when you have 2 defensive touchdowns that the quarterback gave them. Defense played good. Offense played well. I didn't do a great job.
He takes the blame. He puts it on his shoulders. That's all well and good. But I feel like he's brought some juice, some pizzazz to the Browns offense, even if it's a mixed bag at times, and the Browns are 3-9. Jerry Jeudy, 9 catches, 235 yards, the most ever for a receiver against his former team. Also had the touchdown that you heard, and yeah, he really wanted the W.
You know, it was high emotions, but you know, we all want to beat the team that you used to play for, you know, but you know, we came up short. So we got to find a way to finish, find a way to win.
You all want to beat the team that you used to play for. Yeah, I think that's the goal. A pretty common theme when guys change teams, regardless of sport, in free agency. Has Jameis Winston done enough to earn a starting job in the NFL? Because there will be a few gigs that are open come this offseason. 855-212-4227.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Chris is in Atlanta. Chris, welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Love the show.
Thank you.
So I want to say I believe in Jameis Winston. I think that his problem of staring down wide receivers and his outweigh the negatives, but they on his, you know, his problem with defense is back.
Okay. Chris, I'm so sorry. I wish that we could talk to you, but we can't hear more than like every 4 words. So maybe if you get your phone situation fixed. Steve is in Akron. Steve, what do you think about Jameis Winston?
Oh, I think he'd be a starter right now, Amy. What do you think? Like, he's not playing that bad. I know he throws his interceptions, but this guy is money. Who can throw for almost 500 yards?
Russell Wilson.
Name another quarterback.
Another
quarterback that does
any of them. I mean, any of them are capable of doing it. It's not just about his skills. It's also about what he saw with the defense and his receivers catching. So they're all capable of that. But I'm thinking since he took over from Deshaun Watson with the Browns, we've seen more life in that offense and more potential, more points to be sure.
And he said the right things. He's done the right things. He says, "Praise be the Lord."
I don't think that's how you earn a job in the NFL. I could be wrong.
I wanted him to sign back with the Browns. What do you think of that?
Did you want Joe Flacco to re-sign with the Browns too?
Oh, no, we can't do that then. It'd be one or the other, though.
No. My question was, did you want Joe Flacco to, after he won Comeback Player of the Year?
Yes, I was interested in him for sure.
Okay, so now it's Jameis Winston who could be re-signing potentially.
I'm going to go with Winston.
Okay, what about Deshaun Watson? Now. Yeah, I don't think Flacco's available. What about Deshaun Watson?
I'm not a fan of him. I think they should cut him loose. I did like him eventually, but, like, he's not the right answer. They should just cut him loose. It'd be a lot of money, but Denver did it with Russell Wilson. Wilson's good in Pittsburgh, but Watson's got to go somewhere else.
All right. I'm not sure there is another place for him.
Let's draft a quarterback. No, hold on. Listen. Let the Browns draft a quarterback. Okay. I like that Alabama guy, Milroe or whatever. I want, like, the Richardson guy.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how the draft pans out. The Browns obviously sitting at 3-9, so they should be in the top 10. Steve, thank you so much for your phone call. Listen, Steve in Akron. So the Browns passed on re-signing Joe Flacco. I suppose he actually could be available, but it's been a mixed bag with him this year. Spelling Anthony Richardson with the Colts. Jameis Winston, well, he might be available too. If he decides that he wants to stick in Cleveland, they could build something with their offense as opposed to starting fresh again and hoping that Deshaun is healthy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.